Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. First on the docket, more delays in the Letitia Stauch matter. Second, Lori Loughlin apparently is not enjoying her time behind bars. Third, a priest with gang affiliations. Wait until you hear this. And yes, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. First, if you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you hit that subscribe button, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up new content or go live. Well, I don't know about you, but it's the day after the election. Some of you may have stayed up late. Well, I think this is the best example of what waiting for a jury feels like. It is a complete tense situation, and you have absolutely no control over it whatsoever. So if you had no problem getting through the election results, maybe with no more than a little bit of anxiety, guess what? You probably have what it takes to be a trial attorney, because once it's out of your hands, there's nothing else you can do. You just sit back and wait. First on the docket, more delays in the Letitia Stauch matter. As you may recall, obviously, Letitia Stauch is charged with the death of her stepson, Gannon. Now, Ms. Letitia Stauch, through her attorneys, have filed for a competency evaluation. The first evaluation was done, and the defense then filed for a second evaluation to be completed. Now, there's been all kinds of issues regarding this whole competency evaluation. When the first evaluation was done, it was video recorded by the doctor that did the examination. Only problem was, guess what? Under Colorado law, it wasn't to have been video recorded. And so there's been a whole lot of controversy. So since the first evaluation was video recorded, the defense attorneys in the case said, hey, we would like to see that video evaluation, or at least give it to the new doctor doing the evaluation. The court said, whoa, defense, pump your brakes, because there's this issue under the statute. Yes, if there's an insanity defense, those evaluations must be recorded on video. But if it's competency, the Colorado legislature left out specifically competency evaluations to not be recorded. So the judge said, are you sure you really want me to do that, defense? Because if I release it to the evaluator and you, guess what? I have to give a copy to the prosecution, who could use that against your client. And since it probably should not have been video recorded, the first incident, are you sure you really want that to be done? The defense then said, hey, judge, thanks. You're right. We agree. We don't want that video to be turned over to our doctor conducting the second evaluation, because we agree with you in your analysis that it never should have been recorded in the first place. And we certainly don't want the prosecution to have it and to be able to use that video against our client in the future, particularly if there's a contested hearing regarding competency, not to mention admissions regarding anything that could be used against her at trial. Needless to say, the defense is still agreeing with the court. They filed a motion recently regarding this particular issue, and they do not want the video turned over to the prosecution. The delays are going to come not only from that whole issue about which video, but now the evaluator for the second competency evaluation says that they're going to need more time. So the defense for Ms. Stauch has filed a motion requesting additional time for the completion of a second competency evaluation in her case. And she requests that the hearing scheduled to review competency, set for November 12th, should be continued to accommodate the additional time necessary. The reason for the time that is necessary is that apparently the El Paso County Jail, where Ms. Letitia Stauch is being held, reported that on October 29th of this year, that there was a growing outbreak of COVID-19 and it is apparently spreading among the inmates. As of October 29th, when their motion was filed, there were some 72 inmates who had tested positive for COVID-19, and that the jail was basically on lockdown. What does lockdown mean? It means that there are no in-person visits to conduct the competency evaluation. In fact, there are not going to be any in-person visits at the jail until at least November 30th, so the evaluation can't be conducted until sometime after that date, assuming there's not basically a second wave there in the jail. Obviously, the court's going to have to rule on this. They could keep the status date for November 12th, but the evaluation won't be complete and nothing will be able to be conducted on that issue related to competency on that hearing date anyway. No other issues can be resolved as it relates to the Letitia Stout matter until competency is resolved, right? We can't even move the case forward and do anything of substance unless we know Letitia Stout is competent to proceed, which means that she understands the proceedings taking place. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the wheels of justice move slow sometimes. Next on the docket, apparently Lori Loughlin is not enjoying her time behind bars. For those of you who do not know, Lori Loughlin and her husband, Massimo Giannulli, were arrested as part of a nationwide college admission scandal back in March of 2019. The duo, who originally pled not guilty, were accused of paying some $500,000 in bribes to facilitate their daughter's admission and acceptance to the University of Southern California. In May, the former Full House star and 57-year-old fashion designer agreed to change their pleas as part of a plea deal. 3 months later, Ms. Loughlin and her husband were sentenced to prison. Lori Loughlin had to serve 60 days behind bars, pay a $150,000 fine, and have 2 years of supervised release. And during that time of supervised release, she must complete 100 hours of community service. Now, her husband, Massimo, was ordered to serve 5 months in prison, and he received a $250,000 fine, once again with 2 years of supervised release, but he has to complete 250 hours of community service. Lori Loughlin surrendered last week, and when somebody first goes into the Bureau of Prisons and they surrender to a facility, they've got to get booked in. Regardless of who you think you are or your status in life, you have all the necessary procedures that they have to do to make sure you're not smuggling contraband into the jail, which could include various body cavity searches, other indignities that one may not quite be used to if they're not in and out of jail, so to speak. Now, Ms. Loughlin, before she's sent to general population, is going to be basically put in kind of a solitary space for several of the days so that they can make sure that she's not a risk to herself. Suicide watch, basically, like they put on a lot of people when they first go in, particularly someone who's never been in this particular situation. Now, apparently Ms. Loughlin was doing her best to be brave, and she's quite concerned that, God forbid, something happen in custody, which could result in her having to stay longer. You know, you see this a lot of times when somebody goes in, even for a short stint. Guess what? They get in a fight. They get charged with a crime. They do something that they just simply can't do, and it results in them having to stay longer in custody because they don't get their good time or earned time credit, which knocks time off their sentence, or they pick up a new case. Ms. Loughlin, like I said, is not enjoying herself. Well, guess what? It's supposed to be punishment. Nothing cruel and unusual for sure, but I'm sure it's not anything like Ms. Loughlin is used to. You know, when you can write $500,000 checks to get your kids into schools that they apparently don't qualify for, this can come as quite a shock. The reality of it is she will make it through this process and she will more than likely be home for Christmas. And as we said the other day, 60 days in custody is a gift given the wire fraud in that particular amount of money. I assure you, that was a sweetheart deal and she should be thanking her lucky stars that 60 days was all she is serving. Let me know what you think in the comments below. Do you think Lori Loughlin will make it out okay? And she'll probably go on a speaking to her when she gets done, telling about her experience and how she made it through it. Somehow I think she's going to be able to be just fine. Now, this next story is exactly why people need to have a background subscription service. Go to crimetalksearch.com and you will be able to do background searches on individuals. And one of the things that you'll be able to see is the social media associated with the person that you're searching. Yes, you'll already be able to get information regarding phone numbers, emails, criminal history, property records, divorce records, judgments, bankruptcies, all that information's there. But what are you really going to find these days is social media. So go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be glad that you did. I'm telling you, this is exactly why people need to be able to search people. You just never know what you will find. Well, that's right. A priest with gang affiliations has been basically banned from going back to his church. Wait till you hear this. A Catholic priest has been banned from his church after parishioners discovered his involvement with gangs, drugs, and sexual relationships. Father Guadalupe Rios is not allowed within 100 yards of St. Joseph's Church in Selma, California, despite his name still remaining on the church marquee. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Fresno has a restraining order protecting church employees, including Bishop Joseph Brennan, from the priest. Apparently, parishioners were surfing the web and social media, and they thought that they had actually seen Father Rios on social media postings posing with an AK-47, various other assault weapons, and pistols. Well, certainly that's not illegal, but it's also been discovered that he has been allegedly emotionally and physically abusing the church secretary, who says that she had had a romantic and sexual relationship with him for 5 years. It's also alleged that he habitually uses alcohol and marijuana, which makes him feel suicidal. The church secretary also said that he has threatened to hurt himself as well. Now, court records did show that Rios was convicted in 2016 over DUI, showing he had had blood alcohol level of 0.190, which is at least twice the legal limit. A judge ultimately approved the restraining order on Friday, protecting the church from the priest. Police have also seized the assault rifles and the other firearms from the church grounds. Now, I'm not sure what to make of this. Certainly, it doesn't appear as though the good Father Rios was a prohibited person. Certainly, priests have hobbies outside of their job as a priest. I once met a priest that drank and smoked. Nothing illegal about that. I don't think the weapons and perhaps gang affiliations with individuals is what the problem is. It's the sexual harassment allegations made by the church secretary. It just shows you, you never know what you're going to find out until you search somebody and do these background checks. I'm telling you just never know what you're going to find. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. The dumb criminal contestant is not identified today, but we'll do our best to see if we can actually find them if they are a dumb criminal contestant winner for the week. But take a look at this. That's right. That's a snowmobile on the roof of a car, perpendicular to the front of the car. That's right. And guess what? It wasn't even secured in any way. Well, the Wisconsin State Patrol pulled this genius over the other day when they saw this snowmobile strapped to its roof. And you can see from the photo, it shows the Minneapolis license plates and the snowmobile sitting perpendicular on the roof. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation used this as a teachable moment to remind people that if you're going to haul these types of items, i.e. you should probably get a truck or use a trailer, not your car. Now, it doesn't appear as though our genius of the day has received any type of citation for this. It's more of a public service announcement. But once again, a teachable moment from our dumb criminal contestant of the day. This is probably illegal, but no one's probably ever thought about somebody actually doing something so stupid. So no one's actually ever written a law to say you can't do this because nobody thought anyone would be this dumb to actually do this. Our potential done criminal today got away with it because he was so far ahead of the legislature that they could not even imagine somebody doing something so stupid. But now the legislature will have to go in and probably pass a law saying that you can't put a snowmobile on the top of your car unless it's obviously in the back of a truck or being towed on a trailer. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. This dumb criminal is cutting edge stupidity. But that's what happens. There's no crime that anybody can come up with other than the police just simply shake their head and say, what were you thinking? No crime has been committed. Thanks for watching today. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.